Happy Monday. Dr. Randy here from the Intentional Living Center, along with Jennifer and Stephen, where we just really focus on understanding God's intention for our life, because here's what we believe. When we understand that His intention for us is good and loving and for purpose and peace and freedom, and then when we align our daily decisions and actions in alignment with His intentions, a lot of great things can happen. We'll give you a little more detail on what intentional living is all about if you're new to the show today. We got a focus on marriage, as we have some friends who just have some questions and things they want to talk about when it comes to being intentional in Christ. If you want to share a comment, you can do so at 888-888-1717. All right, let's get going here. Don, you are first in Michigan. How are you today?
Hi, Dr. Randy. It's good to hear your voice.
Thank you. You too. Go right ahead.
Well, I wanted to leave a comment and more of a praise report. I'm glad that God has risen a biblical counselor up at this time. You know, the proverb says it's better to hear praise from someone else than to constantly, like a trumpet, always talking about how great you are, how wise you are, how intelligent you are. And I think what I've learned from your program for the past 12 years is that you're in the process of learning, too. You're along the journey with us. And it's kind of interesting because, like, if you don't know something, well, you just won't propound on it. You'll kind of, like, take a step back and then ask questions. And, you know, I think what you're doing is giving us a dose of sanity in this culture where people, well, they don't really know either way, so they just don't make a decision or they make a bad one.
Yeah.
And the program helps me make wise decisions. And I like making wise decisions because I'm usually the one that has to pay the penalty when I make bad ones.
Yeah, that's right.
I think it's great that you've done all this. And not personally, I mean, I know you're surrounded by people, but we're big at Proverbs at my church, and we love that book. And biblical counselors are hard to come by that are very scripted in the Bible verses. And I just really thank you and your staff for being so honest and truthful with us about how you want to lead us into a better understanding of the Gospels and Christ's love for us.
Mm. Well, Don, I appreciate that. That's very thoughtful. I'll tell you, when you share that, it's kind of like, wow, that's a heavy burden. And I always tell people, I am on the journey. I don't know everything. There are times I may say things, probably have said things that need interpretation, clarity, and maybe correction. Because none of us know everything. But I'll tell you what, when we get back to the source, and that's why intentional living, Don, as you've been listening for years, we attempt to keep bringing it back. Is there a biblical basis for this? Is there a scriptural basis? We understand some of the psychology and the relational stuff. And what I have found over my years is that the common sense of things on how to get along with people and how to deal with money and how to deal with your health and so on, a lot of it is common sense. But where does that common sense come from? We see the biblical basis for this stuff. And so as children of God, followers of Christ, that's why I say God's loving intention toward us is amazing. He wants us to experience freedom and peace and purpose. And doesn't mean it's always going to be great. Doesn't mean we're always going to be wealthy or, you know, we don't preach a prosperity gospel here. We know people who love Jesus today who are in poverty. And it's just part of the world in which we live and the sinful nature of humanity. But you know what? They can still live an intentional life. You can be in a really difficult marriage today and be intentional. You can be in financial difficulty today and be intentional. So intentional living isn't just for those who are kind of moving along and everything is great, because it may not always be great. But we still have that opportunity to make that decision. And Don, thank you for your encouragement. That means a lot to me. It really does. Appreciate it. Glad you're listening. All right. I did promise last week when we talked about intentional living, I'd give you the four steps of what intentional living is. I promise to do that coming up during this half hour. If you have a story you want to share on our comment line, we try to get through those as much as we can and get some of them up on the air in future shows. Tell us your story. Ask your question. 888-888-1717 is the number. 888-888-1717. And speaking of that, we get emails that come in, and Stephen gets a chance, my producer here, gets a chance to read these. And this is, we got a nice one. Thank you for the ministry. I appreciate that, Andrew. Thank you. But there's one on marriage here that's kind of interesting. Stephen, tell us about this, and I want to comment on the letter from Vicki.
Yeah, this was Vicki, and she says, I've had a bit of a conundrum on my hands. You see, I've lifted up my husband to God with all my heart, and God answered. Mm-hmm. And my husband got hit with such a giant dose of what we call Jesus juice a few months back that it changed our lives immediately, all for the better, except for one thing.
Okay, we can stop right there. But there's more to the story. This is, go right ahead.
I do not know this man that I'm married to now. He's a complete stranger, whom I have known for 15 years. I'm being the calm in the storm of this newly saved man. There's all sorts of things, yeah. And I just don't know what to do.
It says there he's sorting out all sorts of things with God.
Yeah.
So this guy's, your husband, Vicki, is being unraveled. I mean, he's kind of day by day experiencing this new relationship with Christ. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. He's young in this thing. You know, he's young in his walk with Christ. Some immaturity, maybe. You know, that's part of the growth. He's learning. Yeah. But it goes on. It says, go ahead. I'll let you answer the phone, Steve. But it goes on and says, there's an awful lot of my husband expecting me to cater to all emotions at the moment, yet I'm not allowed the same grace. In other words, there's been a little dynamic switch here going on. Maybe starting to preach a little bit. I don't know. Maybe talk a little bit. Maybe giving back some of the things that we can give to someone we love who's not a follower of Christ. I'm not ungrateful, Vicki says, but I just apologize to God for not being able to deal with this answer in my prayer. You're so honest, Vicki. And listen, you're not alone. I've been at this a long time, and I've talked to women in particular who have just spent their time praying for their husband, and their whole mission in life and purpose has been to get their husband saved and get their husband in church, and then the guy along the way gives his life to Christ. And some of these women have been really honest with me, saying, I've lost my purpose. I mean, I was so much involved in the purpose that now I don't know what to do next. And so you're right. You know, God, you've done the work in his life. Now give me patience as he starts to grow and realize there can be a change in the dynamic that occurs in the relationship when all of a sudden he's a new follower of Christ and maybe starting to take some leadership. Wow, that changes things too. A lot of interesting things that can happen in that dynamic. You know what? Just a word. This is a great time for the two of you to stay pretty close to each other and worship together and get some counseling even. It's okay as you go through this change. A positive thing in your life for sure. All right, quick break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back. Every question we ask in life has the power to set us up or set us free. In Dr. Randy's teaching titled The Power of Questions, he unpacks the first question in the Bible and how the serpent used it to twist God's word and lead Adam and Eve astray.
God never told the woman she couldn't touch the fruit. There's already a deception that's occurring in this woman's mind, and Satan is setting her up.
With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that gets to listen to this message along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Thank you, Kurt, for that reminder. And boy, do we appreciate your prayers and the practical giving financially to our listener-supported ministry within the Intentional Life Media, our Intentional Living Ministry radio program, the satellite, the staff, the things that we do, funded completely, entirely by you all. And by the way, us all, because my wife and I and our team here support as well. And right now, your gift is needed, deeply appreciated, and welcomed. And so you can call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. That's our main number here. If you press 1, generally, when I'm on the air live, you talk to me or our comment line. Or you can press number 2 and talk to one of our staff live and join in support. Or go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Okay? And click on donate. Boy, we'd appreciate your support.
Yes, Dr. Andy. My name is Cass from Phoenix. The lady that spoke earlier with her mom, I'm having the same issue with my wife. I try to do the right thing and just love her, but there's times that it just gets overwhelming and, you know, I just let it get to me and I'm trying not to. But, you know, when she starts saying the things she does, like she regrets marrying me, and all types of cold things, you know, to say to someone. You know, I just need advice. Like, I don't know, maybe I'm saying the wrong things to her. I keep telling her, you know, you need to trust God. I've done some hurt to her in the past. I was addicted to some drugs, and I put her through a lot of pain and suffering, but I went to treatment, and it's been over 18 months, and she just, I don't know if it's a trust issue or just she just keeps bringing it back, and I don't know what else to say to her. So maybe you could help out with this situation. Thank you.
Yeah, well, Cass, there'd be a lot of questions I'd like to ask. I know you left that on the storyline, but I would just say an observation. You guys are on different speeds on your path, because you say, I'm over it. I've been to treatment. She ain't over it yet. And whatever has went on back there, she's still stuck there. And maybe happy in one part of her saying, that's great, you're better, but I ain't better. I'm still struggling. And so you come on with, hey, I love you, and I'm trying to be nice, and all of those things which you're doing, which, by the way, is terrific, but she's not ready to receive them yet. It's like, you ever had a situation in your marriage? Come on, guys. Where you apologize too quickly? Or the other way, ladies, you apologize too quickly and your spouse isn't quite ready to accept the apology yet? They give me a little time and then come back, right? And I say that with a chuckle, but that's a reality. Sometimes we got to process things. And so my encouragement to you, Cass, would be, listen, give your wife some space. And you continue to grow and just be who you need to be. And hopefully the two of you can work through this. And hopefully she can get some help. And maybe the two of you get some marriage counseling together. That could be life transforming for you. That'd be my encouragement. Zachary's on the line. Hi, Zachary. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. Go right ahead.
I just wanted to share some hope and encouragement again to those listeners who are struggling with depression. You need to hear this. Depression is a spiritual battle, and Satan doesn't attack those who he already has control over or knows their souls are his. He attacks those who are called, who have a relationship, who are believers in the Lord. And we need to remember that and let that be our hope, that we're under attack and we're going through that depression because Satan knows that we're called. But we're not just called to sit idly. It comes with a challenge also, because depression is multifold, as you know.
Right.
But depression kind of gets stuck in selfishness. It turns inward and we're thinking about how we're feeling. And if we think and understand that we're called by God to have a relationship with him, and that's why we're having the struggle, then also I want to challenge you to maybe try to find a new way to serve someone, whether that's your spouse, whether that's in a local church, whether that's the homeless, find somewhere to try to challenge yourself to serve and to get the mind shifted into serving the Lord and serving his people. And I found a great, great relief in my depression by turning my thoughts away from the inward and focusing on the outward and others and servantry.
That's great.
I just want to give people hope that the Lord loves you and he wants you and he wants to keep you and he wants to bless you. And when the Lord wants to bless you, Satan's going to try to steal that away. But remember, it's a spiritual battle, and try not to focus so much on the problems that we think we have and to focus on others and how we can help them. And a lot of times the Lord will bless us with that peace and relief when we're serving him.
Very practical. And you're absolutely, it's biblically correct, everything Zachary was sharing, because it is a spiritual thing. There's certainly a spiritual component of how we deal with it, but it's also a brain chemistry issue, right? We see the characters in the Old Testament that wrestled with it, including the psalmist, as you pointed out, Stephen, to me a little bit ago. I mean, a lot of the Psalms are David crying out from his own depression. But to follow up on what Zachary was saying, I'll give you some scriptural reference that'll be encouraging. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul is writing to the church at Philippi about finding peace. And he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. That's an attitude. Secondly, he says, let your gentleness be known to all men. That's not only an attitude, but that's a behavior. That's a decision. And then be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, which is interesting. He says supplication with thanksgiving. And what's interesting there, supplication is almost like begging, saying, Lord, please, pleading the Lord, please, but do it with thankfulness. It's not just about me. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for all the provision you've had in my life and the life of my family. And I bring before you these feelings I have of anxiety and depression, and I ask you to relieve me of these or to give me peace through this time. All right, let's get back to our questions. We got a question coming in from Michigan. Go right ahead.
Hi, my name's Denise. I'm 56 years old, and my question is, I've been with the same man since I was 18 years old. We've been married for 34 years, and we have 3 daughters. Our marriage really kind of took a turn. We grew apart when our first 2 were in high school, and we didn't have any other planned pregnancies, and I was told I couldn't get pregnant, but then at 40, I did. And that baby brought us together a little bit, but we still are at a point in our marriage right now, with our youngest being 15, where we sleep in separate bedrooms, we watch TV in separate rooms, we don't have anything to talk about. We don't have anything in common. And at this point, I feel so, so lonely. Mm. What do you do with that? I'm a Christian. I believe in my wedding vows. I've not wanted to stray from my marriage, but I'm going to be 60, and I'm just so lonely. Mm. And I don't know what to do with that.
Well, Denise, the fact that you honored us with your question, we appreciate it. That's a big, big step. And just reflecting on some of the words that you shared as you left that on our storyline, I would reflect back to you a couple things. One is you acknowledge the fact that, hey, I don't want to stray from my vows, which means that maybe, you know, you're concerned about that in the back of your head, which I understand. I mean, that's there. You're lonely. That's part of our human condition. But secondly, it was interesting. You commented on, kind of implied things were going along fairly well, but things took a turn, you said, when our kids were teenagers. And now again, that we have another child, came later, things kind of got better. And now that one's 15 and things have taken a turn again. I would encourage you and your husband, if you can do this, to be honest with each other, to get with a counselor and ask the question, why did things turn when these kids were teenagers? And my guess would be, in part, you had a child-focused marriage. Your marriage was really focused on the functionality of raising kids, going to school, going to soccer games, And whatever wasn't going on in your marriage, whatever intimacy wasn't being developed, whatever spiritual, emotional, physical intimacy wasn't being focused on, that energy got turned to work, to your kids, and to other things. And all of a sudden, the kids are teenagers. They don't need you as much. They're doing their own thing. And you look at each other, and we're in separate bedrooms, separate lives, separate priorities, and you're lonely. And so going back and understanding what happened, because on the day you got married, you probably didn't think that. You had high hopes of things would be better. And so I would just be honest, say, you know, honey, we just have a very functional kind of relationship, and it's not enough. And we need, and not blaming him, just both of you are maybe struggling. Hopefully he is as well. And the two of you can be honest with each other. That's important. All right. Again, thank you, Denise, for sharing that with us. That's intentional living. Starts with making a decision, discovering God's intention, and then decluttering the path, right? And then doing one thing every day. Get started. Break the inertia. All right, let's go to Arizona. I got another question for me. Go ahead.
My name is Hope. My question is how to get past making a bad decision regarding getting married and trying to be okay with God and what the Bible says.
All right. These are questions, by the way, that come in left on our storyline. Thank you, Hope. I appreciate that. You know, the HuffPost said that 30% of women will acknowledge, they'll say in a survey that they knew they married the wrong guy on their wedding day. Now, I don't know the stats on guys, but I bet you it's probably similar. So what I heard you say, Hope, is, you know, I don't know what to do with God, I don't know what to do with my feelings, and I don't know what to do with my marriage. And so it's like you're feeling stuck between God and your feelings. I want to honor God, and I know God says I'm supposed to stay married. I know God tells me I'm supposed to work on this stuff. But at the same time, I don't feel like it. Now, getting above this call and just looking at our culture today, hey, listen, we love you guys. We love all of our listeners. But I think if we're being honest with each other, we live in an easy-to-buy and easy-to-return world. You get it, maybe it's from Amazon or online, you get it, and if it doesn't work, you put it back in the box and send it back. Or you take it back to the store. And that's great. I mean, that's a great thing when you're buying things that don't fit, don't work, send it back. Go to a restaurant, doesn't work, send it back, they'll redo it. But listen, when we get married, this is a big deal. It's not like, hey, you put them back in a box and send them back. And so It's the fact that you're saying, hey, I made a decision and it wasn't the right decision. What do I do with this? You got to dig a little deeper with this man that you married and find out what's going on. If it's, hey, I just realized I don't think I love him, or I don't think we're really compatible, that's one thing. If on the other hand, you're saying, hey, I didn't know that he was abusive. I didn't know that he was an alcoholic. I didn't know these things. That's something else that needs to be addressed. But I would encourage you, Hope, to just take care of yourself, be honest with yourself. Don't do something stupid because you feel this way, because feelings can really put you into the ditch. And I would say to those of you not married, but you're dating today, let your eyes be open and your ears wide open as you hear Hope's call. As we tell people, your eyes need to be wide open before you're married and partially shut afterward, because we're human beings. And God honors marriage. But at the same time, if you're struggling, boy, I would hope that the two of you, being mature enough, could sit down and talk about what's going on. We're talking intentional living today. Quick break, and I'll be right back. Romans 6:1, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? There's a profound question. In other words, we know we've been saved by grace, but as a result of that, should we continue to sin just so there can be
you know, more grace. There's some people who follow that philosophy when it comes to life. God is so good, I got to really mess up so he can be really good in my life, you know. Genesis 4:9, am I my brother's keeper? Boy, you camp on that one for a while, right? Are we? Of course, God's given us a challenge to meet the needs and help people, reach people.
That's an excerpt from the teaching this month. Thank you for your support. God bless you. 888-888-1717 is the contact number, or theintentionallife.com. All right, just about out of time, but I think I have time for one more call from New Mexico.
Hello, my name is Jerry. I'm from Albuquerque. I'm calling about my marriage, my husband of 35 years, and he has severe heart problems, has already had heart surgery once and stents a few times, and they just found out that there may be an abnormality in his heart, and they don't know what to do anymore. So I have done lots and lots of research and tried to line things up with scripture and sun, and just being outside is so good for the human body that God gave us. And I try to give these little tips and advice, and he becomes offended and doesn't want to hear anything. And it's gotten to where I feel like I'm walking on eggshells. There's nothing I can say, and I feel like I just need to keep silent. And it's just become very tense. He bites my head off, and he bites our daughter's head off, and it's as if we can't do anything right. Mm. I'm not sure what to do.
Mm. Jerry, I got about 30 seconds. I don't know your husband, but I know your husband. Because I bet you he's scared to death. He knows that his health is failing, and he knows that he may not be around for lots of different things going on in his life. And I would just say to you, lovingly, he has doctors, apparently. What he needs is a wife. He needs someone to be there to listen to him. He doesn't need tips. He needs tenderness. And if you can do that without suggestions, and I hear you because you love him, you want to say, do this, try that, that's a different role than what I think you need to play. That'd be my two cents. All right, gotta run. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson from Intentional Living, part of Intentional Life Media and Family Life Radio. We love you. We want the best for you. If you want to share a comment or reaction or thought, do so. 888-888-1717. We'll be back next time. More help on how to live intentionally in Christ. See you then.